Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on polishing a jungle sampler rack with chopped vinyl character. In this session, we're not just building another breakbeat loop, we're creating a playable drum rack that feels sampled, worn in, and alive, like it came off a dusty record and got reassembled by somebody who really knows how to make jungle breathe. We're aiming for crunchy, slightly unstable, full of groove, and ready for drum and bass, jungle and rolling bass music. By the end, you'll have a rack that gives you tight control over individual hits, enough grit and movement to feel human, and enough flexibility to turn one break into a full arrangement. That means kicks, snares, hats, ghost notes, texture layers, and a few performance-friendly tricks that make the whole thing feel like an instrument instead of just a loop. We'll stay inside Ableton's stock tools, using things like drum rack, simpler, sampler, drum bus, auto filter, saturator, EQ8, Redux, glue compressor, utility, and optionally roar if you want a bit more attitude in Live 12. Let's start with source material. The best starting point is a breakbeat that already has some character. If you can find an old jungle break, an Amen-style loop, a Think Break-style sample, a gritty funk break, or even a reggae drum loop, that's ideal. You want room tone, a little noise, natural decay, some ghost notes, and no super clean modern quantization. If the break is too polished, that's okay. We'll rough it up. Drag the break onto an audio track, then right-click and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the slicing dialog, set it to Slice by Transients, create one slice per transient, and make sure it creates a drum rack. Ableton will build a map drum rack for you automatically. Now, here's an important teacher tip. Don't overslice. It's tempting to capture every tiny detail, but jungle needs movement, not robotic fragmentation. If the break has important ghost hits, keep them. If some slices feel too short or too awkward, adjust them manually. We want the rack to feel playable, not overloaded. Next, clean up the rack into a few useful groups. You do not need every slice to stay. In a practical jungle rack, think in terms of a kick pad, snare pad, hat pad, ghost or texture pad, a few break slice pads, and maybe one accent or FX pad. If needed, duplicate key slices to multiple pads so you can alternate them in your pattern. For jungle, variation matters more than perfect completeness. Now let's build a small processing chain for the important pads. For the kick, a strong starting chain is simpler, EQ8, saturator, and drum bus. Keep simpler in classic mode, and if the hit feels too clicky, move the start point in a little. Use EQ8 to high pass the very low rumble, somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz, and cut a bit of mud if needed around 200 to 350 Hz. Then add mild saturator drive with soft clip-on, and use drum bus to add some transient punch and a bit of drive. You want impact, but not modern overkill. The kick should punch through without sounding too sterile. For the snare, use simpler, EQ8, drum bus, and saturator. This is where the rack starts to feel like jungle. Give the snare more transient bite with drum bus, and don't be shy about a little drive. If the top end gets harsh, carve some of that out around the 3 to 6 kHz range, but only if it's necessary. Jungle snares should feel forward and physical, not polite. If you want space, add a tiny room reverb on a send rather than loading the insert chain. For hats and top end fragments, keep the chain lighter, simpler, auto filter, saturator, and maybe redux if you want a bit of digital bite. High pass aggressively, often somewhere around 300 to 600 Hz, because hats do not need low-end baggage. Keep them short, sharp, and lively. These top slices are where a lot of the movement lives. For ghost notes and texture fragments, use simpler, auto filter, maybe a very light chorus ensemble if you want a little spread, and utility for width control. These are your chopped artifacts, the bits that make the rack feel like it was assembled from vinyl scraps and performance instinct. Now let's talk about sample behavior, because this is where the chopped vinyl feel really comes alive. In simpler, use classic or one-shot depending on the pad. Turn snap off if you want less rigid start behavior. Nudge the start point slightly off-grid to keep the attack from feeling too identical every time. Use loop only for texture beds or sustained noise, not for drum hits. If you want dynamics, enable velocity to volume, and use the filter per slice to tame harshness or dullness as needed. If you want deeper control, sampler gives you more advanced options. You can set up velocity layers, filter envelopes, start offset variation, and even more nuanced behavior per hit. This is especially useful if you want one snare pad to behave more aggressively under velocity, or if you want alternate kicks and hats that shift slightly in tone or feel as you play them. And this brings us to one of the most important ideas in this lesson. Variation. A jungle rack should not sound like the same hit repeating over and over. One way to get around that is simple duplication. Copy the same snare or hat to nearby pads with slightly different start points, eq, or saturation, and alternate them in your MIDI pattern. Another option is velocity layering, where a soft hit is darker and quieter while the hard hit is brighter and more saturated. That gives you natural ghost note movement and helps the rack feel sampled instead of programmed. For more advanced control, you can use a chain selector to switch between different chopped versions on the same pad. Now let's make it swing. Jungle is fast, but it still breathes. Program your MIDI pattern somewhere around 160 to 175 BPM. Keep your snare strong on the backbeats, but add chopped notes before and after the main hits. Use 16th and 32nd note placements to keep the groove moving. Then apply swing carefully. The groove pool can help, especially if you extract a groove from a break or use an MPC-style swing. A subtle range around 54 to 58% often works well, but don't swing everything equally. Keep kicks tighter. Let ghost notes drift a little more. Give hats some looseness. That contrast is what makes the groove feel alive. Once the individual pads are working, route the drum rack through a bus chain for glue. A strong bus chain might be EQ8, glue compressor, drum bus, saturator, and maybe a limiter for safety. Use EQ8 to clean up unnecessary rumble and boxiness. With glue compressor, keep it light, maybe just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction, with a moderate attack and either auto or a fairly quick release. The goal is to hold the break together, not crush the life out of it. Then use drum bus and saturator to add attitude and cohesion. This is where the rack starts to feel like one characterful instrument instead of separate samples. Add a separate vinyl texture layer if you want the whole thing to feel more sampled. This could be crackle, hiss, room noise, or a very low-level top loop. Keep it subtle. High pass it so it does not fight the kick, and control the width with utility if it gets messy. You can automate this layer in the arrangement so it comes up in intros, drops out under the loudest sections, and helps the track feel aged and integrated. Now arrange it musically. For the intro, use the vinyl texture and a filtered version of the break. You might tease in a snare fill or a few percussion chops, but keep it light. In the build, increase the density and open the filter a little. Add fills every 4 or 8 bars so the energy keeps moving. At the drop, let the kick and snare anchors hit hard and use chopped accents between the main hits to keep the top end animated. In breakdowns, strip the rack back to texture pads, reverse slices, or filtered chops, and bring in automation on reverb or filtering to create atmosphere. For transitions, use snare flams, reverse slices, quick break rolls, and single hit repeats. Even a tiny fill can create a lot of tension in dark DNB. A few common mistakes are worth calling out. First, don't overslice the break. If you cut it into too many tiny pieces, you can lose the soul of the original recording. Second, don't make everything too clean. Jungle should have some saturation, some timing imperfection, and some noise texture. Third, be careful with low end. Your kick can be huge, but your hats, ghosts, and break fragments should not be cluttering the sub-range. Leave that space for the bass. Fourth, don't overcompress the whole rack. Too much compression kills the shuffle and the life. And fifth, pay attention to velocity. If every hit has the same level, the rack sounds programmed instead of sampled. If you want a darker, heavier sound, there are a few extra tricks that work really well. You can darken the break with auto filter or EQ8 by gently reducing harsh upper mids while keeping the transient snap. You can add short, controlled distortion with saturator, drum bus, or roar instead of crushing everything. You can layer a clean kick under a dirty break for modern impact. And you can use ghost notes as tension tools, placing them before or after the snare to create menace and forward motion. One more useful production mindset: treat the break like a performance source. Even if you're sequencing it in MIDI, think like a drummer chopping vinyl live. One hand on the snare, one hand on the hats, a few small fills, then release. That mindset keeps the rack musical. Here's a quick practice exercise. Build a 4-bar jungle groove at 170 BPM. Use one sliced break as the main source. Add at least one kick layer, one snare layer, one ghost chop layer, and one vinyl noise layer. Use at least 2 different snare velocities, and automate a filter or send somewhere in the phrase. A good pattern is to keep bar 1 fairly straightforward, add a ghost snare before beat 4 in bar 2, introduce a reverse chop or extra hat stab in bar 3, and strip the kick back for a fill in bar 4 before bringing it back hard at the next bar. Then test the loop against a bass line, like a dark reese, a sub-heavy roller, or a classic jungle bass stab. If the drum still feels strong when the bass enters, you've built the rack properly. So let's recap. You've built a polished jungle sampler rack with chopped vinyl character in Ableton Live 12. You turned a break into a playable drum rack, added vintage-style grit with stock devices, introduced velocity and chop variation, and shaped a groove that feels more human and more alive. The key tools to remember are drum rack, simpler, sampler, EQ8, saturator, drum bus, glue compressor, auto filter, utility, and optionally redux or roar. The main mindset here is simple. Do not aim for just a good drum loop. Aim for a rack that feels like a living sampled instrument, something gritty, responsive, and ready to drive the track forward. If you want to keep going, the next smart move is to map macros for crush, tone, and space, so you can perform the rack more expressively inside a full jungle or drum and bass arrangement.